Stoner Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We got the Titans against the Bengals. They say it's not a revenge game, but it is the remembrance of Ryan Tannehill pooping his pants. We've got the Predators have won a bunch of games ever since we yelled and screamed about how bad they are. We've got Tennessee dropping in the college football playoff rankings, but it is Thanksgiving. And so because the Predators pregame is in less than an hour and the puck drops in less than two at Detroit, Joe Rexrode joins us, I assume from Detroit, where he's rooting on the Michigan State Spartans for a little Jared versus Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Joe Rexrode. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. No, I'm in town. I was at Titans today, and so you know, I wanted to get as close to you as possible so you wouldn't try to duck me for a second week in a row, which, of course, you did last week on this and then on our show the next day. You had some lame excuse both days, so you know, I just wanted to make sure we got this done before the holiday.
First of all, the phone's not working was not my fault last week, and then secondly, I probably could have done Jared versus Joe last week, considering that me and TD were stuck at the O'Hare Airport for the whole day. But with that, it's time for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexrode. Now on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Caroline?
All right, let's get into it. So I don't know which one of you tried to duck the hard questions last week, but you can't escape them for too long because I kept notes. Jared, you go first. Is Tannehill tough?
Ooh, that's tough. That's a tough question. Wow. Honestly, I mean, let me say this. I think Tannehill's a good man. And I like Tannehill a lot. I do. I really do. I doubt he likes me, but I can't control that. I spent, you know, and it's just kind of, it's like an occupational hazard when you gossip about somebody as much as we gossip about Tannehill. But I like Tannehill.
But.
No. I want more out of Tannehill. You know, I was thinking about what Chad Withrow was talking about last week or a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. We were talking about Steve McNair and that Steve McNair absolutely would have played. And Chad said that Eddie George told Hutton on the Eddie George show that Steve McNair would have played. But, like, it was a different era. So when I watch these Football Life documentaries and they talk about Dan Marino draining his knee or Joe Montana playing in college with hypothermia or like all these things that happened, it's like it's a different era. That being said, if the Titans had beaten the Chiefs, the Titans right now, I believe, would be leading the AFC for the number one seed. And, I mean, it was a low ankle sprain, and I guess he just couldn't go. And then it's like this week, you know, Vrabel's gone out of his way. We've talked about it plenty, about how Vrabel's gone out of his way to kind of mask last year's Bengals game from Tannehill, whether it's the, it's not a revenge game, or whether it's, you know, wearing different uniforms than they wore last year, or whether it's the key to the game on offense is to run the ball and not turn it over, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, I think Tannehill is tougher than some of these other guys in the league. And I think Tannehill is better than some of these other guys in the league. But I could use more of that. I could use more toughness of playing through injury and that kind of thing from Tannehill. So I'm just kind of like the softness. Remember that press conference he did in May where he got up there and talked about how he had home renovations and like, I'm supposed to believe that. And then going to tell us about how hard the Bengals game, it's supposed to be hard, but he didn't get up in front of everybody after the Bengals game and take responsibility for it. And that's the tough part. So I could use a little bit more. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, talk about just a word salad of just randomness that made no sense. So I just want to make sure they hear Jared. So is Jeffrey Simmons, have you questioned his toughness? Because he had a low ankle sprain and also missed the game.
He played.
Does he also deserve the Jared? What?
He played.
He missed
Jeffrey
a game.
Simmons played. And not only that, he really played three games as opposed to two because the defense was on the field so long because the Titans don't have a backup quarterback. He played 80 snaps against the Chiefs. That's two games. So the Titans decided to hold him out. And Simmons even said that he wanted to play, and the Titans held him out so he could go on Thursday Night Football against Green Bay. That was not Simmons' choice, and on top of it, he played with the ankle for two games, one of which was 80 snaps. Tannehill didn't even play. He didn't even tape it up to try to play.
Oh, he didn't even try. He went out there before the game and traveled and went out and saw if he could run, and he couldn't. And the next week, we saw how poorly he was moving around, but you have to make up fantasy scenarios where he's, like, showing everyone his limp, or he gets asked three direct questions about his ankle, and somehow you take that as he just can't wait for people to hear about it. Are you kidding me? He got asked direct questions. Yes, Tannehill is tough. Tannehill's toughness should not be questioned. Go back to his time with the Dolphins. I mean, his toughness was not questioned at all. He played through much more serious injuries then as well. His quality as a player is fine to question, but his toughness is absolutely not in dispute. And this whole McNair thing, you have no idea. He missed games. You don't know the specifics of an injury. You said,
does Eddie George not count? So Eddie George doesn't know either, does he?
Eddie George does not know the exact specifics of Ryan Tannehill's injury or how it would compare exactly. He absolutely has no idea. He has no clue about that. Neither do you. Not a clue. So you guys can sit there and talk about this and that in the past, but you can't compare apples to apples on this. You don't know the information.
I mean, again, like I said, I'd like to see it just a little tougher. I'd like to see him out there. And it's a low ankle sprain.
Sure.
And, you know, just
which
ask
can't
for a
get worse,
more.
Right, Dr. Jared? I just want to make
you,
sure.
You
Dr.
know what
Jared,
would have been.
Low ankle sprains can't get worse. Is that right?
You know what would have been a real story of toughness is if he had gutted through it against Kansas City and they had won that game, which they would have won that game if he had played, even if he was immobile. And then that is Ryan Tannehill was 80% and played through it and they beat the Chiefs. But he didn't play. Carolina was
as bad as he looked against Denver. There was no way he should have played.
He looks fine against Denver. What are you talking about?
He did not look fine moving around against Denver.
Looked fine to me. Other than when he slid or when he got tackled and he got up and he hobbled around for 20 seconds and then he didn't limp again the rest of the game. Other than that.
Right. Other than you didn't watch how he was moving. You didn't see the velocity on the ball he was throwing. That was a week later.
I did not notice anything
ridiculous
outside of the ordinary against the Denver Broncos. No. Now, when he came back in against the Colts, yes, I noticed that, but not against the Broncos.
Okay. Well,
Caroline, what's next?
Crank up the spill.
On to the next. On to the next. Joe, you go first. The Titans players, Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, have all come forward and said this is not a revenge game. But should the Titans approach this Bengals game like a revenge game?
Actually, I'm so glad you brought that up. That was another point I wanted to make. Like, another fantasy scenario, like somehow Vrabel saying this, which is like total, like it's total football coach speak cliche stuff, not a revenge game. Somehow Jared has turned that into he's doing it to use kid gloves about Ryan's feelings. Like, what? Where? How do you even get to these things? I don't know. How should the Titans look at this as an important game in the AFC, a chance to measure up against the team? I mean, look, I do agree with Jared, and we talked about this a lot today on our show. That game was not about the Bengals. It wasn't about the Bengals. It was about Ryan Tannehill. That game was a referendum on Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback of the Titans, and all we talked about in this town, as you guys well know, for months was, can they get anyone else? What are they going to do if they have to keep all, you know, it was all about Tannehill. He lost that game. So it isn't a revenge game. Like it wasn't anything the Bengals did except the gifts that Ryan Tannehill gave them. So, and either way, like it's a regular season game the next year, you know, if they get to a playoff game, it'll be more of an angle, but even that revenge is not going to trump just being able to win a playoff game. So honestly, it's just coach speak stuff. And yes, they were all told, "Oh, it's not a revenge game." Everybody say that. They're all saying it. But I kind of buy it. I mean, I just, this to me doesn't feel the same as like the Ravens wins over the Titans, where there's this bitterness and, you know, there's this lingering feeling. I don't think people care about the Bengals. I just think they cared after that game about how Tannehill screwed it up.
So, I mean, I go back to yesterday, and I mean, Chris Sanders today was like, absolutely a revenge game, and I just disagree. I mean, there's no ill will. There's no angst between the Titans and the Bengals. There's not a player on the Bengals that did anything. There's not, you know, the Titans know why they lost that game. To me, I struggle with the idea that there's something special, that this is, that the Titans look at this the way that Roger Staubach and the 70s Cowboys looked at, you know, Dyron Talbert and the 70s Redskins, who said after the NFC Championship game that they should have played the other quarterback. I'm glad they played Roger Staubach. And then Roger Staubach goes, "We never lost to Washington again when I played because of that." They're just not the same. Not even remotely close. I'm with Joe on this one. That playoff loss had nothing to do with the Bengals. It had everything to do with the Titans, at least as far as I'm concerned and the Titans are concerned. So, no. It's not a revenge game. And the idea, too, about the, you know, can Tannehill hold it together or is he going to crack under the pressure? That's all coming back when they get into the playoffs. And it doesn't matter if it's the Chargers or the Dolphins or the Patriots or the Bengals or the Ravens or whoever is in here for that first playoff game. It doesn't matter who it is. All the talk will be about how Tannehill stunk it up in the playoffs last year. And really, it should be included that he stunk it up for the last 2 years. But that's what it's going to be about before that game, regardless of who the opponent is. Really has nothing to do with the Bengals. The Bengals were the team that were there last year, but it just really crystallized the problems of the 2021 Titans. And it really had nothing to do with them. And I think this team knows that. But I do stand by my fact that I think that Vrabel's going out of his way to wear oven mitts around Ryan Tannehill's psyche ahead of this Bengals game.
Your fact. Yeah, you're standing by your fact. Okay. Sounds good.
Did I just say I'm standing by my fact? I'm standing by my opinion. Did I say I was standing by the fact?
That's what you said.
Did I? I mean, seriously.
I think you just said fact.
Okay. Yeah. No fact. I'm standing by my accusation that Mike Vrabel is handling Ryan Tannehill with oven mitts ahead of this game. Accusation, not fact. Thank you, Joe, for pointing that out. More Jared versus Joe coming up. 615-737-1025. I don't know why I give out the phone number, but that is the phone number for the show in which Joe and I will continue to argue more here on the program. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love those guys. Hiller's been taking great care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays. They are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, so they're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They got more details online. Just go to happyhiller.com. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year. So schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Preds, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad, now on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
More Jared versus Joe. Joe Rexroad with us. Caroline, right to it.
All right, first question. Jared, you go ahead. Who deserves the blame for Tennessee's loss to South Carolina?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, ultimately, I kind of put it on. Boy, that's a really good question. I mean, I'm going to have to put it on the coach for one reason. And I'm a big Heupel fan, and this doesn't change that I'm a Heupel fan. But, I mean, if Jeremy Banks punched Hendon Hooker over stepping on the power tee and got suspended for the game and didn't play in it, and it's obvious that had some sort of negative effect on the Vols, I mean, I just feel like that's where the culture of the team kind of has to overcome that. Like, if you've got a championship culture – You know, Georgia has a culture that somehow Isaiah Wilson made it through the program. I don't know how, but he somehow made it through the program at UGA and found his way to the NFL, and nobody ever had an idea that he was that kind of guy. So I put it a little bit on the coach and just the culture that I thought Tennessee had, that they needed to have. I mean, when they blew out Ball State to start the year, I felt like they had that culture with that coach and that quarterback, and I guess they just didn't have it. Now, I do think the Jeremy Banks thing was a problem. I don't think it was, like, the only reason that they lost, but I definitely think that it brought down the morale of the team, and I would put that on the board, the Family Feud board, as the number one answer as to the biggest problem with Tennessee on Saturday. So I'll go with the culture of the team put out by the coach.
Real quick, as an aside, when you say that kind of guy, what do you mean by that?
That kind of guy.
Isaiah Wilson.
He's nuts. He's a bad apple.
Okay. But you do understand that sometimes people, you know, get a whole bunch of money and then get into some issues that happen as a result of that. And then it's not like they were that, you know, previously. I just want to clarify, because I think you're sort of framing that situation incorrectly.
I mean, I think that Isaiah Wilson probably, and this is just an assumption, and maybe I'm wrong for making this, that even in the days before NIL, I'm sure that the Georgia football players that started on the offensive line probably found their way to getting money if they wanted it. I don't think that it was all of a sudden Isaiah Wilson just got rich overnight and went off the deep end. I think Isaiah Wilson probably had to be propped up, probably almost every single day had to be propped up at Georgia to, you know, get in line, and somehow they did it. And here, where there's more responsibility put on the player than college, he couldn't do it. But I don't think that Isaiah Wilson came out of nowhere.
Well, that's not accurate. And it's also, first-round money is not, you know, you're a starting lineman at SEC school money. But regardless, I agree that it's hypal. You have to put the blame on the person making the most money, the person who gets all the credit when things go well. When a team performs this poorly, you have to look at him. And I know some people want to look at Tim Banks, too, the D coordinator. And that's fine. It was just an atrocious defensive performance. So you can include him too. And I do think that the Jeremy Banks situation, whatever exactly happened, has to be part of what hurt the Vols. But ultimately, yeah, look, it's on the head coach. It's not easy. There's no way it's easy when you are having a season like this. And all you do, basically, everyone around you just talks about the playoff rankings, and you're going to get another shot at Georgia, or maybe you're going to play Ohio State, and you know, it's just, you're just going to cruise down the stretch. And there's no way it's easy to get a team to actually understand that you have to focus and prepare, or you're not just going to show up and win. But obviously, he failed in doing that, because that was a team that was, and I heard Trevor Manich on your show, and I think this is what people miss a lot of times. They think of teams getting up for a team in the moment, coming out of the tunnel fired up or not fired up, and that's what it is. It's about what did you put in the work in the days preceding that to actually have an idea of what you should be doing, who you're playing, what their tendencies are, all that stuff. And clearly the Vols thought they could just show up and roll. And that has to be on Josh Heupel.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a free agent, right? Like a guy in his walk year, and he has a great season. And it's not like he was sitting there on the field thinking, oh, I got to run this route well in order to get a contract. It's in March of that year where it's like, yeah, I better put down the Twinkies for about 6 months so that I can get this great contract. And clearly Tennessee just, you know, I think it was Dabo Swinney that said in a roundabout Dabo way that Tennessee overlooked South Carolina. And I think that's got to be on the coach, too. But I still think that Jeremy Banks thing's ridiculous. And then I thought the Vols were above that. What's next?
Joe, you go first. Is Vanderbilt making progress?
Are we talking Vanderbilt football, yes, or Vanderbilt athletics at large?
Both.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, football is making, like, tremendous progress. And, you know, that's – honestly, I swear I would have said that had they not won these last two games. I would have said, well, I don't know if tremendous would have been part of it, because at some point you do. You have to win. You have to win more games. But progress is undeniable with Vanderbilt football. Athletics, you know, Jared's always asking, yeah, they put out these press releases. I mean, just walk over to the campus. Like, everything is blown up around their athletic facilities because they're actually building things. They have shovels in the ground, and they're going to have much better facilities, which, again, they had to get themselves to a place of respectability. It had eroded to the point where they were so far behind, and now they're going to catch up there. I mean, sport by sport, they still have an elite baseball program. Absolutely, I'm bullish about Shea Ralph and the women's basketball program. Although the injuries this year are going to make it tough, and we're going to see, you know, on Jerry Stackhouse and men's basketball.
No, we ain't going to see. They gave him a contract extension. We're going to see. They gave him a contract extension. There's no seeing there.
So okay. So they gave him a contract extension. So that means that we all just have to fall in line with that.
We all have to admit that it was stupid and they shouldn't have done it.
Right. Stupid. I'm saying we're going to see. That's fine, Jared. I'm not talking about the Stackhouse extension. I'm saying we're going to see if he can get it done. I mean, at some point, you got to get an NCAA tournament bid, and it's off to a rough start there. So, but overall, the department, I mean, look, they have a chancellor and an AD who communicate with each other and who communicate with their coaches, and there seems to be actual interest in the university side in athletics succeeding. That is massive. That's a 180. That's a 180. So, yes, it's huge progress.
I do think the football team's making progress. The win-loss record's part of it. But, I mean, it's a much better team than when Clark showed up. And I think Clark's doing a great job. And, I mean, I don't think they'll beat Tennessee this week. But the fact that they won with Mike White at quarterback when A.J. Swan went down, I thought was very impressive. I do think that the football program is getting in a, you know, look, at Vanderbilt, the best you can do is make a bowl, and they're getting close to it. And when Clark got there, they didn't win a game. So I think that, you know, it's going to be an uphill climb, but I think he's a good coach. And I think Clark's shown that he's a good head coach, even though it may not equal to anything more than making a bowl game every now and then at Vandy. I do think Clark's a good coach. As far as the department's concerned, I actually am really, really unhappy with the leadership from Candace Lee. I think that Candace Lee is bordering on a horrendous athletic director, and I think the Jerry Stackhouse extension is part of it, but I don't think it's the whole story. I think Jerry Stackhouse has no business getting an extension. I don't think he's good for Vanderbilt. I don't think he's a particularly good coach, and I don't think he's, you know, engaged the community whatsoever, and he doesn't win any basketball games. But my bigger issue is what happened a couple of weeks ago when they had an assistant coach went on Facebook backing up Kanye West. And Vanderbilt is not like every other SEC school. There are certain things that just don't fly at Vanderbilt. And Candace Lee put out a statement with Clark Lee, but she's the athletic director, put out a statement at like 11:30 at night on a Friday saying that this coach who stood up for anti-Semitism, that he had learned his lesson and he was going to coach in the game the next day. And then Clark Lee had to answer the questions after the game about this coach doing the coaching. And I thought that that was embarrassing, because if you're the athletic director and you're going to make a decision like that, you need to be the one who answers the questions. And she was nowhere to be found. And I thought that the way that that was handled was so embarrassing and it was so disrespectful. And I was really upset about it. And I've talked about this, about anti-Semitism, before. And I've talked about how I don't view anti-Semitism any differently than I do about anybody that's against any other race. So if there is something, even though I'm Jewish, if there is something that is racist, or if there is something, you know, whether it's with a black person or an Asian person or whatever, I think I have a lot of empathy for that, because I figure that anybody who doesn't like a specific group probably doesn't like my group either. And I was really upset about it because, I mean, I think Clark Lee is a good man. I do. And I couldn't believe that Clark Lee would put that coach on his sideline. Now, I don't know, you know, how good of a coach that guy was, because he got suspended by the university after he coached the South Carolina game and they won two in a row. So I don't know how much they need this coach that, you know, is talking about how we all need to open our eyes to Kanye West. But I thought the way that Candace Lee handled that was, I think, a horrendous exhibit of leadership. And I don't think that Candace Lee has done anything to get people more engaged with Vanderbilt athletics. I truly think the Jerry Stackhouse contract extension was a slap in the face of everybody who considers themselves a Vanderbilt basketball fan. So I think the department is headed in the wrong direction.
Okay. So real fast, I know we're getting late. You're totally wrong on engaging people. That's a bad take on your part. It's a fair criticism on how they handled the Dan Jackson situation. I will tell you that that was the post-game coaches press conference, which of course he's going to have, and that Candace Lee was there and did talk to all the assembled media after that press conference. So you're inaccurate on how that went down too. And that's a fair criticism, and so is the Stackhouse extension. But let me ask you, Jared, what is the primary job of an athletic director? What is it that an athletic director does that basically their legacy is tied to?
I don't know. Where are you going with this?
It's hiring coaches, and she's hired Clark Lee and Shea Ralph. I don't know where those teams are going to end up, but I think right now it's a strong 2-for-2. She did not hire Jerry Stackhouse. I agree the extension was unnecessary. But for you to take these two things and take it to bordering horrible AD means that you don't really pay attention to what she's been doing.
Caroline?
And to wrap up our final question, Joe, weekly check-in, John Hines report card, now that we are one day away from the line of demarcation.
Well, let's see. Are they winning? Are they in the playoffs right now? Okay.
I think they're just outside.
They are fifth in the Central Division right now.
C-.
Okay.
C-. Wow. All right, Caroline, who won?
All right. Well, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, and in the spirit of giving, everybody wins.
No.
Uh-huh. I'm the judge. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Joe, happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. All of you, all three of you, have a great holiday.
Yep, Joe Rexroad joining us, as always, on A Little Jared versus Joe. 615-737-1025. I do have a quick Titans thought we'll get to, and then I've got some other Preds thoughts as well. It's a loaded show because pregame starts in less than 30 minutes. Edley's Barbecue. If you're going to the games this weekend, hand off the tailgate prep to Edley's Barbecue. Get your smoked wings in easy 25 and 50 count platters. Easily take the smoked pulled pork, brisket, turkey, and scratch made sides family style. Edley's is perfect for game day at home or at the stadium. So call your neighborhood Edley's. Edley's Barbecue has been voted Nashville's best barbecue 4 years in a row. Edley's Barbecue, they are a winning pick. Pickup, delivery, or full service catering. That's right. They got that all as well. So if you're looking to get it done, Edley's Barbecue. We've catered from Edley's. I love Edley's. That's Edley's Barbecue, your neighborhood Edley's, or edleysbbq.com.
I have the Cowboys at 8.
Number 7.
Meanwhile, I think the Titans could be the best coach team in the league, not called the Chiefs. 7th win in their last 8 games. The fact they took the Chiefs to overtime without a second half first down is just remarkable. They've missed 160 games. Player games have been missed due to injury. Second most in the league, so they're not even healthy. They're 8-2 against the spread. What does that tell you? Is that they're totally undervalued as a team. They are tough. They're physical. They're the kind of team that could go to Arrowhead and you look up and go, wait a minute, why is Mahomes watching the second half? I wouldn't want to play them. They're always playing with house money. They never get respect. They're 7-3. Titans at number 7.
There you go. Colin Cowherd in his herd hierarchy. He's got the Titans ahead of the Cowboys. Am I the only one that's shocked by that?
Isn't that not as much as Skip and Shannon, but is that not a Cowboy loving program?
I mean, it's really not like Skip and Shannon. They talk the Cowboys, but they don't talk them like Skip and Shannon do.
Not like Skip and I don't think any show in America talks about the Cowboys as much as Skip and Shannon do, even Dallas Sports Talk Radio. But still.
I mean,
for the Titans to get more national love from Colin Cowherd than the Dallas Cowboys is saying something.
It's starting to make me uncomfortable. Like, it's starting to make the Titans have that game against Green Bay. And Titans played well Thursday night. I mean, I thought they played a great game. And I thought they played a complete game. And I think both things can be true. The Titans are a really good team. I think the Titans are Super Bowl contenders. I think the Titans played a good game on Thursday night at Green Bay. And it can also be true that Green Bay stinks. But what I think's crazy is it's like that happened, and then all of a sudden, everybody is now jumping on the bandwagon from that one game. And it's making me uncomfortable because the Titans are normally good at the nobody respects us, nobody expects anything out of us. And then the second that Colin Coward starts putting them ahead of the Cowboys, then they throw four interceptions and lose to the Texans. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying I get mad when they put the Colts ahead of the Titans, when everybody puts the Colts ahead of the Titans as they did all year until the middle of the year. And then I get mad when they start giving the Titans respect. And yet at the same time, it's like I feel a Vrabel special brewing. I almost
like a bad Vrabel special.
Yeah, like they'll beat the Bengals and the Eagles, and then turn around and lose to I think it's Jacksonville. And Jacksonville stinks, by the way.
Jacksonville does stink.
By the way, if there was any question, if there was any question about the markets, about the NFL, Trevor Lawrence doesn't win anything in Jacksonville. Nobody talks about it. Zach Wilson's 5-2 as a starter this year. Just got benched today. Yeah, he's stinking it up, but that's the difference between Jacksonville and New York. All right, we ran a little long there with Joe. So I got this Preds theory that I want to try out on Hal Gill. They got a big one tonight against Detroit. I got a Preds theory, and we'll hear what Hal has to say next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 to the game. Predators tonight at Detroit. Pre-game is in about 12 minutes. Hal Gill is in the booth, presented by Duncan. Hal, we are approaching U.S. Thanksgiving, and you know that that is the line of demarcation, and the Predators are currently out of a playoff spot, but we'll see what happens tonight. But I've got a theory. The more I get down on the team, the more the team wins. So I am not going to stay getting down on the team. I was torn about the win the other night, because that Arizona team was terrible, but they did find a way, even in a seven-round shootout, to find a way to pull it out. Hal, how do we feel about the Predators after the road trip from hell is now vehemently in the rearview mirror?
I feel like you wake up in the morning, pee on your cornflakes, and start your day. It's like you just can't have some fun. The team
Hal,
is
– I go to Duncan in the morning. You know that.
I know you do. That's a good point. That's smart. But, yeah, this team is playing well. Just enjoy it, Jared. Enjoy it. They're finding ways to win. It's not always going to be perfect. I think they have – the fun part about it is, I think they found their defensive game, and they know they can do a lot more. But they're winning games. You know, that's five games at home that they found a way to get a point in one and win the other four. So – this team is playing well, and we should be happy about it. It's Thanksgiving. Be thankful for something in your life, Jared. And I understand that you always have to look at every angle, but come on, this is a team that's fun to watch right now.
I mean, I thought that Arizona team, they should have won 4-0 the other night. What really bothered me though was the power play, and the power play's been bothering me for a while. They have too much money on that power play, Hal, to be getting the results they're getting, especially against that terrible Arizona team the other night. I mean, they're on a 4-on-3 power play with 2 minutes to go in overtime, and they can't put a puck in the net with $40 million out on the ice? That drove me crazy. Your thoughts on the power play?
Well, I think it's coming around. Didn't they have a couple goals?
I think they had one power play goal in the first period the other night.
The last
and I think they gave up a shorthanded goal the other night, too.
You know, they got two, and really that power play to start the third period was really what set that third period up for them to get back in that game. So after a sloppy second period, so that unit is back together, the big top unit, and yeah, you're right, that's a lot of money. They're demanding more from them, but I think it you know, they've had good looks, so I'm not discouraged by it. I was. You know, at the start of the season, they were sloppy. They weren't getting it done. But I think as the season has gone on in the last five games, they've been finding a way. Maybe the numbers aren't there, but they're finding ways to impact a game. The penalty kill is doing the same thing. They're impacting games. They're getting kills when they need it, you know. And sometimes you give up a goal on a power play, and those things are going to happen. Like, you know, look at Tampa. That's a great power play. they did some great job stopping them. I thought the penalty kill was awesome. It's just you can only stop Kucherov and Stamkos so much. But the power play has stepped up in timely positions and gotten it done. So I think that's a work in progress, but they're building on that. And I think that's like the rest of their game. 5-on-5, they're doing some good things, and they're trying to build on it.
Hal, what about Detroit tonight? I'm used to Detroit stinking it up pretty bad. Doesn't look like this Detroit team stinks that bad.
Yeah, I think Steve Yzerman really has done a good job. He did the same thing in Tampa. You know, he kind of rebuilt that program, and they're having lasting success. And I think he's trying to do the same thing here. He had last year, he had some young guys that came in, like Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond, young guys kind of helping out with Dylan Larkin, trying to get things going. But this year they've added guys, Kubalik, Perron, Ben Chiarot on the back end. They've added some real good players, and I think they're having success. They play a hard game. They'll play a physical game, but they have a lot of skill, and I think they're not far from being that contender that we've all known Detroit is. I mean, they had some great years. They had to take a step back, and now they're rebuilding, and I think they're kind of catching their groove right now. So we'll see how this game goes tonight. It's not going to be easy, that's for sure.
Man, it kind of feels like you were part of that team that ended the Detroit Red Wings. Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, tonight on the call. Hal, tell us about Duncan.
Well, you know, you said it. You wake up in the morning, and I got to get my dunks. Whatever you need, of course, I'm Midnight Roast is my go-to. That's what I'm looking for. We had some cold days. It's all warmed up back there now, so maybe you go squeeze in an iced coffee. But any time of day, they have your snacks. They have your donuts, your munchkins, your omelet bites, a good healthy option. Breakfast sandwiches are fantastic, but they're popping up everywhere in Nashville. The newest one in Mount Juliet just opened up, and you know, it's nice to see. Coming from Boston, we had dunks on every corner, and it's nice to see that Nashville is picking it up and getting the dunks on every corner. So go out there, treat yourself today, tomorrow. Get out there and get your dunks.
Appreciate you, Hal. We'll see you in literally 5 minutes on the pregame show, and then, of course, with the puck drop tonight at 6 o'clock. Have a happy Thanksgiving, Hal.
Let's get it. A happy Thanksgiving, guys. Cheers.
Yep. By the way, that was a much more, trying to think of the right word to say there, cheery discussion between Hal and I. Now the team's winning some games. With that, it's time now for Predators Game Day, presented by TJ Anderson.
Deflects back for Duchene. His shot's up, and the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators Game Day presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Buying or selling, or even thinking about buying or selling, talk to TJ Anderson. He's my realtor. TJ has taken care of two purchases for me and done even more for my friends. I have no hesitation in referring them to him and his wonderful staff. If you're looking to sell your property free and clear, ask TJ how he's having success marketing those properties right now. Got TJAndersonHomes.com, has home reports and reports on value and equity and suggestions on what you can do with the equity and much more. That's TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, TJAndersonHomes.com. U.S. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. It's the line of demarcation. Big one tonight against the Detroit Red Wings, 5-4. The Predators, 9-8-2. Good for 20 points coming off their win the other night. John Hines is putting Matt Duchene with Colton Sissons and Tanner Jeannot tonight. Here's the coach's take.
Well, you know, they look like they had some pretty good chemistry in the third, and just a little bit different look, you know, I think with Tanner and Sissons. You have, you know, Duchene and Sissons are both good on faceoffs, so I think you have a good job there. I think, you know, those two guys, Tanner and Siss, I think work. You know, they get in on the forecheck, but they also have the ability to make plays. And then I think you look at Matt, I think to play with two guys like that, sometimes it frees him up a little bit to be able to, you know, spend some more time in the offensive zone. And we did it for a period. It looked good, and just a little bit different look too with guys on different lines for matchups. Even on the road, you have some pretty good scorers on each line.
Final thought presented by TJ Anderson Holmes. Edmonton is at the Islanders. Meanwhile, St. Louis, they play as well, I believe, tonight at Buffalo. And so if the Predators win and those teams lose, the Predators could technically be in the playoffs on U.S. Thanksgiving tomorrow. Everybody have a very happy Thanksgiving. Chase has got the pregame next. Caroline, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thankful for you and Ian.
There you go. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Pregame's next. Predators in Detroit, 6 o'clock, puck drop tonight.